John Wainwright, beginning visit Mr. Neeland is Tuesday morning, the 29th of May, 73. John Wainwright, beginning the visit Mr. Neeland is Tuesday morning, the 29th of May, 73. With Rick and Debbie, John Wainwright, beginning a visit with Mr. Weaver, Mr. Neeland is Tuesday morning, the 29th of May, 73. With Rick and Debbie, Channel 1 Right, and beginning the visit with Mr. Neeland this Tuesday morning, the 29th of May, 73, with Rick and Debbie.
Yes. It's just the sun, I can't think.
It's dark in here now.
Yeah, it'll take a minute to get used to it more.
And see where I'm at. Well, are you keeping up now with the main thing in life? Get that diploma? Are you
trying to learn how to spell it?
Are you headed in the right direction so far? When is the end of your period come? Isn't the university about to wind up?
I think it's got about 2 weeks to go.
Oh, it wound up 2 weeks ago?
No, it still does.
Oh, I still have 2 weeks to go? Oh. Well, they may be the crucial 2 weeks. Examinations coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I paid for mine, hold weeds at 12.5 cents an hour.
And you didn't lean on your head.
Make my board, books, and lodging.
Yeah.
And I wanted to get my money's worth, so mine were all straight A. So I was there for serious business. I wanted to take advantage of what I only took the 2 year course. That was all I was really entitled to, but not exactly. I could have taken law. An 8th grade certificate admitted you into the law school in those days. Now you have to have a bachelor's before you can get in.
An 8th grade certificate and you could go to law school.
Huh?
An 8th grade certificate to go to law school? You had to go to the 8th grade to go to law school?
That's all it took. My roommate had only an 8th grade and he got into law school. They permitted that, but the university was small and young then. And now they tell me, isn't that right? You have to have a bachelor's before they'll permit you to take law.
Oh, I think so.
I think that's right.
Yeah.
Well, I have a pretty hard time myself because I'm an unqualified, uneducated man. Only have that 2 year intensive training, but if I'm unqualified, there must have been a good many unqualified qualified men, because I didn't ask for the job in forestry, they called me. And I kind of believe in any walk of life that it's a pretty good thing to have the job seek the man rather than the man the job.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Neeland, the finest talk we've had out here was that morning when you got stuck.
Oh.
You come in here pretty well. You
admire this
well.
Man here for getting me out. He knew just what to do and he did it right.
Well, he can get you out all right, but he can't get you in here to talking. You see, you all been out there just chatting, little chit-chat, you see.
Oh.
But that morning, you had your sleeves rolled up when you come.
I did.
And that was first rate.
Maybe
anybody could listen to that.
Maybe that rain that I had to walk through a half mile kind of stirred me up.
I'm going to get you out there to see it with those cows this morning.
See what?
I was going to get you out there in the field with those cows.
Go with the cows. Well, is it too late?
And see if we couldn't do the same thing we did when you got off the road.
Oh, it's dry now, though, isn't it? Have you had much rain here lately?
Yeah, but you can sweat.
You can get stuck. Huh?
You can sweat and come in here, you see, with your mind on something. It's a whole lot better to come in here when you're going to talk with your mind on something that you've been doing.
Well,
instead of this chit-chat.
I have my mind on too many things.
Instead of this chit-chat I'm talking about, Mr. Dillon.
Well,
now, that's the one time you've been out here when that talk was... Anybody could listen to that talk.
My goodness, I didn't ever think I amounted to that much in any department.
Well, I'm not talking to you polite now. I'm trying to talk to you straight.
That's what I like.
I'm trying to tell you straight what I found on that tape. And they found it. It's one of the finest talks we've ever had out here that morning.
I don't even remember what it is about.
You don't have to remember it. I'll remember it. I'm just trying to get your mind on that now.
Well,
have to say a word about it now. I'm just trying to get your mind on that.
Well, if I knew what
you
it
don't
was,
have to know about what that is. I'm trying to tell you that when you come in here, you don't want all this goddamn chit chat on your mind. It's a perfect waste of time.
We have
sat here for the hour and made these tapes, and they weren't listening to them. Is what I'm trying to tell you.
They weren't worth taping.
Not the way we started it. But that morning, that first rate, would go down in somebody's book. Now, what it means to me is, you don't know what it means, let me tell you. I've been working on that. I've been studying it. What it means to me is, Mr. Nealon, that there's a whole lot of things that you can say that people will listen to. And there's a whole lot of things that you do say that cuts them off.
Well,
you don't have to worry about that.
Good.
I can tell you. I don't have to tell you. This morning I gave you the sign. I said, let's go out and get those calves. But they siphoned you off.
Oh, so I thought you weren't ready to go.
So you've been up here just doing that chit-chat.
I was trying to guess. I thought you had some chores that you had to do first.
You don't have to guess with me. I'll give you my suggestion.
Why didn't you tell me?
I asked
over here and get busy.
I told you.
No, you didn't. Not that I
heard. Well, I'm trying to tell you now, and you're just sitting there shaking your head, you see. Just, if you let me line it out,
we'll
get going.
You don't have to. You sound off.
I'm sounding off. I'm trying to, but I'm not getting anywhere.
But the... I have to know what you want me to say. You talk about it. I'm full of all kinds of...
I can't get a word in. You're drowning me. You see, you're drowning me with all that talk. It looks to me like, for all I can see, we might as well just start all over again. Now, I worked with her on it last night, and she helped siphon you off. And she's one of the brightest, Mr. Nealon.
Well, what?
And she can listen to you. And she had listened to talk with your wife 2 times, and she can't wait to get back up there. But they can't set it up. They can't get it started.
Oh, yes.
I can get it started if you'll let me.
Well,
I'll tell you if you'll just let me.
I was holding up anything.
If you'll just let me. But you see, all that chit-chat is what I'm talking about. All the chit-chat. There's so damn much chit-chat in the world.
Oh, yeah.
Is what I want. Now, just let the chit-chat go. And we'll go on a direct route. Now, let me tell you. Now, don't drown me in language. You made all those trips out west. Every time April and May come along, you just couldn't stand it. You had to get in that car and go west. And every mile of the way, you saw things. Now that's your cue.
Well, here's one trouble. This time I couldn't do that. The family.
Now you see, you're going to get off on something else. You got them clear out there.
I didn't go by car this time. I had to take you up to the home country, and you did. So I didn't get a chance to go through the desert and study the cacti and the roadrunners and the jackrabbits.
What about some of the other times you went, though, Mr. Nealon?
Oh, well,
that's what.
Some of the other times, that's different. I could probably talk about
that. I think that's what he'd like to hear. Uh-huh. Some of the other trips you took and what you saw on the trip.
Uh-huh. Well, I could probably recite some of that. I wouldn't mind if I knew what he wanted. Just want to begin at the beginning and roll westward.
Yeah, just start out from Gainesville and roll west. Pick the best year.
You know, there's so many things happen on a trip like that that you don't remember, especially as the last trip is 4 years ago.
But remember when we were outside, you said when you took a trip, it was like every mile was a page in an interesting book.
Right.
Well, what do you see that makes it so interesting?
Well, as I leave, the first thing I see is pine plantings in Florida.
Uh-huh.
Labor, and people just don't know. Then I notice along the way that few more patches of cedar are being planted.
Uh-huh.
And some 40 years ago, when I started to encourage plantings of cedar, I was hooted by the profession that talks about cedar, pines and things.
Yeah.
And now I notice that. Are you
ready?
Yeah.
You adjusted yourself to the farm, to the ranch?
Yes, sir.
Well.
Miss Nealon?
Get rid of this.
Go ahead. No.
It may be bad for your breathing.
No.
Now that was when you were extension forester, and you were over there with the county agents, and they said to you, "Let's go back 40 years or 20 years, and sleep in those."
Yes, sleep. No, I had retired. I had retired, and he had retired. The agent that did so much to promote it, the county agent, he had retired.
Uh-huh.
And so he called me up. He lives in Monticello. He called me up and wanted to know if I'd go out there with him, and we'd sleep in the cabin we built there so many years ago on that multiple-use demonstration that we established there with all the condemnation of the State Forest Service and every other trained forester. Fought it tooth and nail.
450 acres. Now, what I want to know is what you and the county agent did. I don't care about the fight.
No, let's not get into that.
I want to know about you and the county agent.
How it all started?
How you and the county agent went out there and slept in them cabins you had that night.
Well, I had to tell the end of our story there as to how that project happened. And I did, to the best of my knowledge. The Tampa Tribune had a story about me in it, which the editor in Pensacola read. And I'd done some little work down in Hillsborough County. And he wrote me and said, "We want to find out how to go in developing Escambia County. Will you come over with us?" And I thought I'd prepared no talk. I just thought it would be a round table discussion, and I would discuss what I thought might help, because I knew the county well. because I studied every county in Florida closely, drove every road and trail in every county, studying the land, the soil, and what it might be best future use should be. Well, I arrived there, and the county agent took me to the courthouse, and there was a big aggregation of people. And finally, somebody got up on the stage and said, "Is Mr. Nealon here today?" And the county agent says, "Yes, he's sitting here beside me." He says, "Come up to the stage, Mr. Nealon, tell us about it." Now, that's all the preparation I had. And so I said, well, I knew the county, and I knew multiple use. Well, that is, I thought I knew. The program for the undeveloped land there, the thousands and thousands of acres of wild land.
Yeah.
And so I explained
now,
that.
When was that, Mr. Nealon? About. 1950?
It was about 1936. 30, around 35, 36.
Yeah.
In there. So then I got up and explained that program to them and how I thought it would be good for the county. The county clerk was in the audience. Well, I sat down and started to talk. That never amounts to anything. But a month or two later, the county clerk wrote me, and he said, "I heard your talk there on grazing and cattle and developing the wild land in a productive way, taking care of all interests, not just trees." And he said, "I have got 450 acres of land about 12 miles north of Pensacola, and I'd like you to come over and take a look at it and see if it would be suitable for the program you were recommending." Now, isn't that something?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's the first time a non-forester, he was just the county clerk there. Well, it would have had to have been mighty discouraging if I hadn't walked over there the first opportunity. I said, "I'll be over in that section next week." I looked it over and said it would be especially well adapted. So he deeded it to the 4-H Club of Escambia County.
Oh, really?
Oh.
And so from that time on, the county agent, Ed Finlayson, pitched right in and took hold. And whatever I suggested, he did, and more. They built a highway by it, new highway, and he knew the contractor, and he said, "I need a little dam put in there, a little, pretty little clear stream ran through the area, it was hilly, and he said, would you put that dam in? Now you got all your equipment here, earth moving and everything," and he got him to do that. And so we put a nice dam in there, and we had about 2 acres of beautiful fish pond and swimming places.
Yeah.
Then the Kiwanis Club and the Rotary Club and the Rainwater, he's a big Coca-Cola man there, we built cabins for the children, and we gave them instruction there on multiple use and forestry in general. To the 4-H boys, built a little kitchen and place where we could camp there for a week with a group of young people and teach them something about forestry. And so that went on for a number of years, and Ed Finlayson was the boy who backed it up.
Yeah, he was the county clerk.
No, the county clerk just donated the land. It was pretty well.
Oh, he was a county agent.
He's county agent. And a good man. a farm raised man. Didn't even have a bachelor's. He came close. But
well, how did he get the job?
Well, in early days, brother, people hired you because they thought you could handle the job, not because you had a high-sounding degree. And so he took hold, as he always did, in the county agent in a two-fisted manner. Then they promoted him to Escambia County because it was more pay and a better job there, bigger job. So I admired him, and sometimes we'd have meetings there, and they'd say, "Here comes the daddy of all of this." I said, "No, the daddy doesn't deserve the credit. He's just the daddy. Here is the foster parent who brought up the child."
Yeah.
And pointed to the county agent. I don't like to rob anybody.
But then the man stayed county agent for a long time, Mr. Neal.
Yes, he stayed there quite a while, but then the county didn't raise him as he should.
Yeah.
And so he took another job. He was president of the Farm Bureau of Florida for a number of years. He retired.
Yeah.
But I was always sorry when he left, because that program went back ever since. The fellow that followed him didn't care a hoot about that.
Yeah. Well, there you are.
But then another young assistant did. And I stopped by there one time on my way home. I'd been on a trip, and I told the wife I want to go down to the 100-foot grazing strip surrounding the area, which is part of my program, and see how those cedars did. I interplanted with pines, and while I was down there, a young fellow came walking down. I kept an eye on the car. You can't leave a woman alone today in a car along the highway. It's dangerous. The murderer for the car. Temporary use, you know. Crime has just been awful lately. But anyway, the young fellow came down. I didn't know him. He was assistant county agent. They made him county agent.
Yeah.
And he said, "You know why they made me county agent? The people in town, the businessmen and the farm people, wanted me because I took an interest in this program. And that's the reason I got to be county agent." So he wanted to know who I was. See, he was young. I'd been retired there for some years. And he wanted to know who I was snooping down there in his place. Which I appreciated, because I wanted him to keep up with it. Anyway, it has gone back and gone back. Now the man in charge is no longer there.
Yeah.
You know, that's one trouble. If it's a good man, they promote him up.
Yeah. And then the next man won't carry on.
The next man won't carry on. There you have it. A good idea.
You've had too much of that, I'm
sure. Oh, I've had it. I've lived with it. Condemned, condemned for multiple use. Today, all the national magazines talk about multiple use in our forest. But they don't know how to make it practical.
Yeah.
There you are. A principle learned is of no value, whatever. I guess you've heard me on that before. Unless you know if, when, why, and how, and where you apply that principle in a productive way, and they don't know.
Now this practice, this county agent down there that you worked with.
Yeah.
Now, you all didn't take trips anywhere.
No, I covered the state in my work thoroughly.
Well, you took trips with all these fellows. You drove with them here, there, and yonder?
Oh, almost always in their county.
Oh, I guess you went down the back roads then.
But no one at the university ever asked or seemed to care what I did in my 20 years as extension forester.
But you, when you all were knocking around, you all would cut up right smart.
No, I don't remember doing anything that was exciting.
Well, now that's what those letters say. In your scrapbook.
The book, you mean?
In your scrapbook, when they wrote you when you retired, they all wrote back and says,
"Oh yes,
them good times."
I've got at least 30 letters on my multiple use throughout the South, and people up as far as North Carolina.
Mr. Weaver, Mr. Neyland, let me tell you, if you'd take a few of my suggestions. I said, there's multiple use now. I've had enough of that. But you and the county agent, when you was knocking around, what was the term I used?
Square.
You all would cut up and have a good time.
Well, it was pretty serious business so far as I remember. Maybe I just
seems
as well
as though
to
I recollect
something.
Somebody doing a little Scottish brogue in the middle of the forest.
Oh, well, yes. I like the Scotch because I've had to be Scotch all my life. I wanted a little pay, and I had to make out on it.
Yeah.
So I like to remember how they count their pennies, you know. It says it comes a wee bit high, you know. So I had to dodge that part.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I sort of enjoy those few people I met that were truly Scots, because they were pretty much honest people and very careful with their money.
Yeah.
And so we were kin.
Oh, yeah?
I had to do the same. You know, get $120 a month, buy a car, and run it at your expense for 8 years is a slow way to get rich.
I reckon you'd need a lot of those back in the woods, then. You know, when you're doing all back in the county.
If you'd asked me when I was 12 what I wanted to be, I'd told you I wanted to be a forester, but we near 50 before we had any forestry school, so I did something about it wherever I was. Then when in 1928, when the state foresters, 1929, when they came to Florida, the state foresters heard about me. He came down and said, you're that much interested, you should be working for us. Well,
yeah,
the county hadn't paid me my $60 a month for 5 months. It was the money
driving,
in the agricultural fund.
And you're driving all your own car in those roads? You know those roads?
I still got $60 from state and federal sources, but not from the county.
Those roads that tear your car up.
Huh?
I get to where I don't want to drive around here sometimes, because these dirt roads will tear your car up.
Oh, I wasn't a paved road in the county.
And you drove all those roads?
I drove all those roads, all day long, most every day, helping the people in some way.
To come down the road.
Huh?
I reckon you must have waved everybody to come down the road.
Well, I made it. I'd get stuck a lot, but
you did.
Model T, you know, you could hoist it up and put something under it, some palmetto roots or something.
Oh, you jack it up?
Jack it up and put some palmetto roots under it if you could. I remember one day I was bouncing over those rough roads and I saw a wheel whiz by and land, jumped the ditch and landed in the fence. I said, there goes a wheel. It could be one of mine, but you couldn't tell on that road. So I finally got my wheel back and took some nuts off and got three on.
That was your wheel?
And got back to town to get my tire fixed, the car fixed.
Well, now wait a minute. If that wheel come off, you'd lose all your nuts. Those lug nuts would all be gone.
Yeah, but if you take one off the other three wheels, you know, you can get back on if you drive very carefully. I had to be a little bit able to help yourself in places like that, especially when it's way out in remote places and no one to ask.
Those old tires didn't hold a lot of air, did they?
Well, the old Model T is a good car, but it had its drawbacks, too.
Somebody told me you could fix them with a piece of wire.
Oh, you had to have some wire with you all the time, yeah.
Couldn't you just take that off a piece of fence?
No, I didn't have to. This case here, I was able to steal the nut off the other three wheels, and that got me back into town where they had a Ford place.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You know, I've had a tire come apart of me one time. We were pulling a boat, and that tire blew up, and we didn't know it, except the parts come whizzing by us.
No, this wasn't the case. I don't know how those nuts got loose on that wheel. I lost the wheel. It wasn't hurt. It just bounced off.
Well, it did.
Yeah. But then on those rough roads there, anything can happen.
Well, I guess you must have seen that everywhere then.
Must have what?
Just seen people breaking down everywhere.
Oh, yes, being broken down. Mainly, though, it was stuck in the mud. No paved roads, and you had to get through deep clay spots that just not were navigable. And once in a while, I'd have to detour through the woods to get away from one of those spots because the rainy season was on and the places were too wet. After a while, you know a little about soils. No, that's a clay area there, around the woods, through the woods, flat woods, you know, and you could weave your way through the palmettos and pines till you got to where it was sandy again and you'd travel.
Well, what you need would just be have an old mule with you some way. That'd coach you out anyway.
Well, you couldn't take a mule in the car because the mule can't go 30 miles an hour, and I could sometimes make 30 miles.
Yeah.
On those sand roads.
Well, just you in the car? Just you in the car?
Yeah, just myself in the car. I traveled all day long. Didn't need any office, no.
I thought you carried the farmers all around.
No, not often. Sometimes I did, special days. But often I'd have to do some veterinary work.
Oh, you did?
Man worked on the road there with his six fine mules. And then he finished his contract, and then he said, called me up. We had a farmer's line. I was a telephone tycoon at the time. I bought the whole 14-mile telephone line with the instruments and everything for...
You told us about that.
A reasonable price. But anyway, they called me up and said, my mules are all sick. And urine's all red. And I said, well, I'll run up there and see what I can find out about it. And having had a course in veterinary, I was able to solve his problem and many others like it that were simple. I said, yes, you've been working these mules hard now on your road contract. And now you're through, you put them in the pen, you kept them on the same amount of grain. Yeah, so I fed them just the same. Well, I said, you can't do that. You keep those mules in this lot and feed them all the hay they can eat and plenty of water and no grain for at least 10 days. 10 days the mules are all right. You have to watch that. But he didn't know that. And so many places like that you can be helpful.
That Owen Flagler?
Yeah, that's Owen Flagler County. Another man called me up and said, my cow ate a barrel of potatoes. Maybe I told you about that.
Yeah, I know about that. Did you have to answer your own telephone?
Oh, we had two shorts and a long was mine.
Yeah.
And then you could hear all the clicks when they were all listening in.
It
wasn't their number, but then they wanted to get in on the conversation, you know.
In your office. You have an office in the courthouse?
Finally did. They finally gave me an office.
Well, you had to still answer your own phone?
Yeah, of course. No, for a while there, I had a secretary. I had a girl there, one of the neighbor girls that knew how to type. And she did my typing because I had quite a bit of correspondence built up after a while.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then some of it was statewide, some of it was between the university and myself. But nobody knew anything much in those days or cared, seemed to care. I was on my own all the time.
Yeah.
And used my own judgment. There's one trouble about being an extension forester in early days, especially, the foresters would not accept anything I ever said or did because he's not a qualified man. The agricultural PhDs, they take their tip from the foresters. They don't criticize anything I do, but they never comment on it.
Yeah.
And so you're strictly on your own.
We were in your office there in Flagler.
Yeah.
Well, now that little girl, your neighbor, you see, if they paid her anything.
I had to get rid of her soon because the money played out.
Well, if they paid her anything, they'd pay her as much as they paid you. They couldn't pay much less, could they?
Oh, no, they paid her a lot less. Probably around 25 a month, something like that.
Oh.
But anyway, I took her to work every morning. It didn't cost her anything to get there. She was on the road where I live, 10 miles out from the office.
Goodness.
And so I picked her up and brought her back at night. Whenever I could, which was most all the time, but that didn't last too long. The money soon paid out.
Now, your files, your letter files and all, when you left Flagler, did you take your files with you?
No, I left those. Sometimes my successors threw away a lot. One of them, one day he gave me some pictures. I had organized the first 4-H forestry clubs in the state. There was no Forest Service. That was 5 years before we had a Forest Service, and got some information from Washington in a general way and organized those. So just at the time, I had worked 5 months without pay because the farmers, finally, they were very loyal. And whenever the county commissioners fired me, which was sometimes almost fortnightly, even the women fired me one time. The Women's Club of Bunnell, because I got back from the field work at 11 o'clock to the office, and one of the women said, "We want you to have a float ready at 2 o'clock this afternoon. We want to have a parade." Well, I said, "I'm sorry, I can't do that anyway between now and 2 o'clock. It is past 11 then. And I have two 4-H clubs that live within walking distance, and we're going to have a joint meeting this afternoon. And after that, we're going to have a ball game between the two clubs, because all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy." I had to refuse. They went right to the county commissioner and had me fired.
and you played ball.
Yes, I played on the Bunnell team.
Why, Mr. Nealon?
You hit the home runs.
Yeah, I grew up throwing rocks in the West, and I didn't know I had developed such a throwing arm. So when they put me in a center fielder, I saw an old-timer that knew me here not long ago. "Oh, yes," he says, "I remember you. You got him in from deep center on a straight line to the catcher." I never thought of that. I thought that's the way it ought to be.
You weren't going by the rules.
Huh?
You wasn't going by the rules.
No, I was getting that ball there ahead of that fella that was trying to make a home run.
Yeah.
So then they made me pitcher because the paper said he throws the ball faster than the human eye can see it. You know, I got to be pitcher not because I had too much curve, but because I had so much speed they missed it. So I did play some ball there, but not very much. I didn't have time for that.
Yeah.
But they'd come out to the farm before I was county agent there, and I'd be out there plowing my field, and they'd wave, "Want me, got a ball game on the Daytona."
Yeah.
So I was just like Putnam. I unharnessed my mules and went with them in their Model T, and we played a game. But I wasn't married then.
You was batching then.
I was batching then.
Your daddy had gone on back.
Yeah.
And your other brother was railroading?
The oldest brother, he was off with the state in those
state
days,
then.
Working in disease control and citrus.
Yeah.
They had this white,
was
the name of that disease? They had almost wiped out Florida citrus.
So He was working in that
because he had a 2-year degree in agriculture, you know. Yeah. That's kind of rare in those days, too.
Yeah.
Now it doesn't amount to 2 hoops.
And, yeah.
They used to hire people because we thought they could do the job, but now we hire them, they got a PhD or else no.
You're not helping me. I slipped the tog and you just let me slip it. Just sit there, goddammit, and watch it slip.
What do you want me to say?
I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about Faith. I lost the connection, and she just sitting there letting me lose it.
I was interested in this ball game.
Oh, well, that's not so important, it appears.
I guess
you're important enough to hook your mule.
But you batched for a right smart while.
No, only 2 years.
Only 2 years?
Yeah. I did my own cooking and no butcher shops. If I get short of meat, I'd get me a swamp rabbit or go down the creek and catch a few catfish.
Yeah.
But mostly I solved that problem. I had some figs and I made some sugar cured hams and bacon. And, you know, that helped out big.
Oh, you did it.
I could put a pot of beans with a big chunk of ham on there and I'd have something to eat for 3 days.
Well, who'd do all that butchering for you?
All that what?
All that butchering for you. Of those pigs.
Oh, well, you're supposed to know. Supposed to know some things.
Oh, you did it.
Yeah, of course I did that. I studied something about making such things in a book, and I had a publication on just how much salt and how much you leave it in the brine for about 6 weeks and so on, and so I came out with very good stuff. It helped out, and then with the garden and a few citrus trees and a few other things.
See that, gentleman?
Yeah, red belly.
Ain't he handsome?
Yeah,
he's a young one, isn't he?
He likes your grain too. You have to put out any sunflower seed, then you'll have the titmice.
And he's eating suet now.
Oh, he is. Well, I'm glad to see that. It's nice that you have it nicely located by the window where you can see it.
Well, I can pop the squirrels.
And what?
If I have to pop the squirrels.
Oh.
See my window there?
Yeah.
I have to fix my window so I can pop the squirrels, or else they just clean it up every day.
Yeah.
Every time I went out
there. Well, I have mine where I can restore the seed from the window.
You know, Mr. Nealon, you don't know. If you'd known what you'd getting into, you might have just kept on batching it.
No, I kind of figured there might be a better way. I kept up a little correspondence. One of my friends, a girl in the Chi Omega in Gainesville that I knew quite well, she was the best friend I ever had, I guess. And she said, well, you be in the Navy, New York would be your home port. And she said, I'll give you the name of 3 Chi Omegas up there. She didn't know them, of course. And maybe you get a chance to call on them, so I'll call on one, and the poor gal's been stuck with me ever since.
Yeah. How would she take you on, Mr. Neal?
That's the mystery. You know, I'm telling you.
And the way you look then.
The way I could do and couldn't do. And
yeah. You didn't know whether to eat with your fork or your knife.
But, no, but she knew me a little because every time my ship came into port, I'd stop by and take my pal with me and we'd call on her. And so she thought maybe it wasn't as bad as I looked.
Well, you calling on the Chi Omegas, wasn't you sort of getting up ahead of yourself?
Yeah, way ahead, way ahead. I don't know. I was farm foreman then on the experimentation farm, and my brother had known this girl, and so he told me about her, and he said you ought to call on her once in a while. So I did. So she told me about when I went off to war. She told me about the people up there in New York. Well, I've had a good job there. She's Columbia University graduate, and she taught school for a couple of years, and then the AT&T called her up and asked her if she'd take a job with them, and so she's a very hard worker, and so she took hold in a big way. She didn't think she was qualified, she told him, for that kind of work. But they promoted her every 6 months, and she had a lot better job than I did.
Well,
some people are brave.
Yeah, up there where people were civilized.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
She come down here.
Among the common man, I'd say. And I was one of them. And the old stove
popped
up with a pet milk can. The grate was.
What's that?
So,
what's that?
I'd say the little old wood stove that I had was propped up with a pet milk can because the grate had broken and fallen down.
Yeah.
But it did supply the wood.
Oh, yeah.
You did not chop the wood.
Yeah.
Well, that's a long way from New York to Flagler County.
It was took quite a brave gal.
And you took her way out there 10 miles from town.
Yeah, 10 miles from town. But, you know, she took hold, and if it wasn't for women's bravery, where would we be anyhow?
Well, I want to know how she took hold.
Well, she soon took hold. It was 2 years before the first baby arrived. So, on Saturday afternoon, we didn't have any home agent, just the county agent, so I collected all of the girls within 10 miles diameter circle and brought them in, and she put them through the regular 4-H club sewing course. And they graduated in that. And then she took over the 2-year course also. The first year girls and the older girls, when they got the 2-year course completed, they did the 1-year course completed. He gave them the 2-year course. Then we had a little exhibit at a filling station. The man cleared off his bench there. Of the work, and had some woman from Tallahassee, one of the district agents, or the specialist there in clothing, it was this time. And she was a Columbia University graduate, as it happened. So she came down, got acquainted with the wife, and she judged the work as to whether it was up to snuff. The wife was very fussy about living up to the rules and having everything done perfectly. So she passed it as good as any work has ever been done.
He's told me getting up.
She made a contribution there that helped me. One time they wanted to fire me, and one of the county commissioners says, "No, you don't. That man's wife teaching my girls how to sew."
Well, she knew that already.
Well, she was good with the needle anyway.
You know, a lot of them are kind of squeamish if they have to come out where you got to kill a chicken yourself.
Well, some are what?
Squeamish.
You know, I don't find many people that want to go kill a chicken by themselves.
Oh, well, no. People are kind of restricted now. They don't know much about anything at
all
anyhow.
If your wife came down from New York, out of Flagler
County.
Oh,
I didn't let her kill any chickens. I killed the chicken and dressed it. And she cooked it.
But she just kind of looked the other way when you did the dirty
yes,
work?
Yes, sir. She couldn't bear it. I got in bad the first few days when I was back to the farm because I didn't have any chicken just at the time. And I noticed there was a bunch of doves in the field. And so I got out my gun, and bam, bam, was it flew off. I killed a couple, and I said, well, we'll have something for supper. When she saw those birds, she started to cry.
Yeah.
I couldn't kill any more birds.
Yeah.
So, I've been a conservationist since then.
Well, now, she had 2 full years of that out there.
She had a number of years. Let's see.
I mean, out there at 10 miles from town.
We were married in 1920, and I went up to New York, and we fixed the date. That was in April, and we were to be married in September, the latter part of September. So I went up there and we had the wedding up there, and then we came down by boat to Jacksonville, and then from there on by train to Bunnell. And when we got there, it was night. The only way you could get there was 11 o'clock, and so the little old hotel, there's nobody around, and so I poked around at the different doors there and finally found one that was no response. All the doors were open. You could go in any place you wanted to, but I listened to see if I could hear anybody snoring or breathing. Finally found an empty room, so we went in there. Things were primitive in those days.
I wouldn't call that primitive, Mr. Neyland. I'd say
sociable.
I'd say that was pretty cultivated. See, they didn't need a cleric, did they?
Well, the man, the woman that ran it, they'd gone to bed at 11 o'clock and passed, and they didn't expect any more guests that late.
No. No. They didn't expect any that late, did they?
No, they didn't expect anyone, so they went to bed.
Yeah.
And so there was nobody there, and so I started hunting around upstairs for a room that wasn't occupied.
You just went down that long hallway.
Long hallway, that's
yeah.
Right. Listened at the door.
You listened at the door.
Hear nobody breathing. Why, I could pass on or go in if there's no.
Was that a frame building or was it brick
just
by then?
Just a wooden building. Just a wooden building.
They didn't have much brick then.
How much what?
They didn't have much brick building by then.
Very little. They didn't even have a courthouse in anything but an old wooden building.
But
before I was through there, though, they had a brick courthouse there. I went back there and here about a year ago, and I said, I wonder if the old editor used to publish my column. I had a county agent's column every week in the newspaper describing the things I thought might be good for the farmers or news of some kind. And they moved the office down the street and only a girl in there. I said, is Duke McDaniel still about? And she said, yes, he's retired. He's probably home looking at television. And so I'll call him. And she called him and he says, hold on to him. I'm coming right down. Died here a year ago.
Luke who?
Who?
Luke.
Duke McDaniel, we called him. Duke McDaniel.
Duke McDaniel.
And so he came down and we chatted a while. Left my wife somewhere else and I was worried about her.
What was he doing when you knew him?
Editor.
Oh, and you?
Editor of the paper.
Oh, he put in your little county agent's column.
Yeah, he put in the county agent's column. Well, I told the girl, you know, I used to write a column for this paper. She says, what year was that? Well, I remember it was 26, 25, 26, and 27, I think. You had the entire thing all the way down the wall, every issue of the paper. So she went to the year, pulled down the paper, there was LTU and County Agent's column. So I had the proof.
Yeah, is that right?
So she called him, which after a while,
right?
I said, Duke, I'd like to talk some more with you, but I've got to go because I left my wife in a place and she's wondering what happened to me. And so
Duke,
he said, you know what?
Daniel.
When I left, he says, we've had 3 county agents since you left. Not one of them did half the job you did.
Wow.
Well, you know, that encouraged me a lot because while I was there, I got to know.
Well, what did you...
people in town didn't dare to say anything because three members of the board were selling the Yankees bum farmland, and the banker ran them.
Yeah.
Couldn't get it, our highways fixed so they were travelable. So we finally voted the $250,000 bond issue the farmers did. He had the county commissioners, the majority, put that money in his bank without security. He closed the bank and disappeared. We never got a shovel full of dirt. That's the kind of crookery we have there.
Who was that?
Stafford was the banker.
And he's the one who...
He didn't like me. He said he don't play ball. I wasn't about to get involved in his damnable crookery.
And he never showed up again?
No. Nobody seemed to care. One of the county commissioners resented all that crookery.
Oh, he's
you
the
know
one.
What happened?
Who is
the
he?
The old man from Georgia, Fields. They hired a bunch of bandits from Palm Beach. He came up there and they stepped out of the church. They grabbed him and put a foot over his head, took him out in the woods and beat him up over a log.
Well, now.
And he had to walk back.
Stafford handed out a little of that before he
left. Well, he paid his way. So, that was
you missed a calling then, Mr. Nealon. You ought to have a little hand in the banking business.
Yeah, I had my little few dollars in the bank, all right, of course, but that didn't amount to much. But the main thing is he saw, what did they say on the streets there, that crowd? Never could catch on to Nealon's racket. He's getting his summer, but I can't figure out where he gets it. He ain't doing all that for nothing. That's the kind of attitude I had there.
That was a courthouse crowd.
Yeah, the courthouse crowd. And so they were, they want to sell a poor fellow a miserable piece of land when we had 36,000 acres of good land in the county, and I'd tell the fellow, don't buy that. Well, I've already got a down payment on it. Well, I said, don't pay any more on that. Then he'd go back and tell him, fire him, he's a stumbling block to progress.
But now,
they call that progress.
Yeah, but now Duke McDaniel, he was interested in everything you was.
Well, he didn't dare to say anything because he had to get along with a bunch of crooks somehow. He had to make a living too.
Yes, did he?
Well, of sorts. You know, a little paper like that didn't bring in much money.
Make as much as you did?
I don't know what he made. I never went into it. He had he had an assistant editor. He made his own type and did all the work.
Yeah. He'd do good to make $100 a month.
He might have made more than that. I don't know what he made. He probably had to make more than
$100 at that time. It was pretty good.
Well, yes, that's right. $120 I got, which I had to buy a car and run it all day long.
Yeah.
So he was getting more than $100, a good deal, than I was.
Yeah.
It cost you money to run a car, and then they just broken down sometimes.
But now all that, part of that time, but you finally moved to town.
No, I never did. I stayed out on the little farm.
10 miles.
And that helped me.
Is that right?
Because I didn't have to pay any rent, and I had a cow. Get up early in the morning, milk the cow. We had two cows, and I got in trouble that way too one morning. I had to do that before daylight so I'd get back on the job in time, and I was stooped over. I gave the cow some grain. I stooped over to pick up my milk box and a stool that I sat on while I milked, and at that time she threw her head around at a fly, and her nose, her horn went through my nose and split it down. I had a pretty bad looking nose there, and my little boy, he kept running after me, dripping blood. I had to milk with my head like this so that I wouldn't get blood in the tail. you ran after me. The cow didn't do it on purpose. The cow didn't do it on purpose. About 3 years old. So there wasn't much comfort in that. But I had a lot of hogs to vaccinate that day, so I had to go around and tell them all to turn their hogs loose because I had to go down and get my nose stitched up. So I went down to Daytona, the hospital, and the surgeon there, he took one look and he threaded a long needle, a curved needle, and I said, look here, and you better put something on that nose, it's pretty sore by now. And, whoa, no, he says, you don't need anything like that. Every time it took 5 stitches to get it back together again, every time it felt like a bumblebee was working on my nose. But
now that was in Bunnell.
As in Bunnell, wife had to, she finally got in as president of the same crowd that fired me, so I fared better after that.
Yeah.
Anyway, the women were teasing me about how my nose looked. Oh, I said, don't worry about this. I'm coming out like with a nose like Rudy Valentino now. But it didn't feel that way.
Yeah.
Rudy Valentino in those days was one of the best looking men.
You got out of the
picture
Navy show. In 1919?
Yes, I quit in 1919.
Yeah.
I quit county agency work when the state forester came down and said, you're that much interested, you should be working for us.
And then you was out there on your farm by yourself for a couple of years before you was county agent.
Yeah.
Well, that means about.
But I had to tell
you. Now, you got married before you was county agent.
No, it was this way. The hog collar was wiping out their hogs too bad, so they called on me, the only qualified man in the county, to be county agent and vaccinate all the hogs. Well, that was along in April, and I had engaged to be married in September, so I wrote to Gainesville and said, well, it's a little too early to go on vacation, but I have an engagement now that's 4 or 5 months long to be married up in New York, and I'd like to have that time off. And things were very easy in extension in those days. So my boss wrote back and said, that's perfectly all right. Things like that don't happen every day in a man's life. You take all the time that's necessary. So I took 2 weeks off and then went back to work. I wrote the wife and I said, you got a county agent on your hands.
Oh, you helped them out in the cholera, and it was after you got married
no,
that they
I
made you a county agent.
I didn't help them out until I got to be county agent. Then I could do the work free without charging them anything. The veterinarians were on
the hogs all be dead if they had to wait till you got to be county.
Oh, they had to wait, that's all.
You didn't do any of it up until...
Didn't do any of it until I got... well, now, wait a minute, maybe I did, yes. I was county agent for 4 or 5 months, so I must have, yeah. I got my... They did buy me the necessary hypodermics.
Yeah.
And but I paid for the disinfectant myself.
Yeah.
Out of my 120 a month.
So your wife married a county agent?
Yeah, that's right. She married a county agent. No, yeah. She didn't accept the county agent on the promise. So I didn't have anything but that little piece of farmland.
And you married in 1920?
Yeah, 1920.
And if you got out of the Army in 1919...
No, it must have been... I got out in 1919, and then 2 years I took care of the farm.
Well, there's no 2 years in there.
It must have been 1921 or close to it when we were married. Probably September of 1920.
Well...
I forget so.
You better not tell her.
Huh? Better not what?
Better not tell her.
Oh, well, she put up with me for over 50 years, so maybe she'll put up a little longer.
Has it been 50 years you've been married?
Yep.
Well, that'd make it.
Retired 16 years ago, so I said, look here, I made a bargain. I think a good one, too. I said, for 40 years, you got my breakfast and washed the breakfast dishes. Now I'm taking it over from now on, and you stay in bed till I call you to breakfast. Yeah. And so I've done that now. I only have 26 more years to
do. But look, Mr. Whelan, Mr. Nealon, your recollection is you got out of the Army and you batched for 2 years.
Yeah.
And you got to be county agent about the time you all married.
About 4 or 5 months, about, let's see, from April to September.
Yeah. And that could be 1920-21, somewhere along there.
Yeah, well, I mean, must have been 21.
And then you were county agent up until 1926?
No, till 29. I worked 5 months after my pay paid out.
So it'd be in 29 or 30 that you quit?
In 29 I accepted with the State Forest Service.
Yeah.
When he came down and offered me a better pay and paid all my travel expenses.
To do what?
He gave me a terrible job. He had contracts from Florella, Alabama to St. Augustine. 13 tractors, farm equipment, wet winter, bogged down, broken equipment. They didn't have the right kind of equipment to stand that. They were broken down. I was working day and night, but I completed their contract on time by April and got all fire lines plowed.
Fire lines?
Yeah, fire line plowing. Many, many big operations. And so...
what kind of equipment do you use?
A tractor and a farm tractor, 15-20 wheel tractor that would bury itself in wet ground.
Those old farm
all the time, and farm all the early kinds. Some were 10-20 and some were 15-30, bigger ones. But when I got through, they promoted me to district forester and gave me 12 counties to supervise.
That was farm halls? Mostly farm halls?
Farm hall, yes, and some McCormick Deering, 1530. I don't know who made those. I forgot that now.
1530, I never heard of that.
Yeah, they're wheel tractors. That is, they would...
they got those big cleats
they
on.
They had the power of 30 horses, but the drawing power of 15 horses.
Oh.
Was that it?
They could pull, but you couldn't pull. The wheels would spin on wet soil.
Were those big rubber tires?
No. They had, there were no rubber tires. They were all tires, metal tires that had these caulks, you know, that just shoveled the dirt away and down it was bogged down, and to get out. Cut down logs and get him out again. But that was one of the worst things he ever did, because he passed up the graduate foresters and gave me the job they were waiting for.
Well, how long did you do that, Mr. Steve?
I worked with them until close to 8 years. Then the university called me.
Now, 8 years?
Yeah, something like that.
On that fire line stuff?
No, only 1 year on that fire line thing. But then I had to supervise forest protection in 12 counties. By the way, I came through my home county one day and I saw the clerk standing on the curb there. I said, "Hi, Dale, how are things going?" "About the same." He says, "By the way, there's a little money accumulated in the agricultural fund." And that was 4 or 5 years later, after I quit. So he said, "Maybe the county can pay you what it owes you." And I said, "Well, that's good news."
What did the forest protection, what did that do?
Protection, they gave them a place so they could backfire if a fire broke out, and there was plenty of that. cattlemen were mad at them because they took in their cattle range and they'd set their places on fire on purpose. And the first several years he had an awful time, man. Took their range away from them. See, the big companies, corporations come in and buy 12,000 acres of their cattle range and then they couldn't graze anymore. And so they got mad and set the woods on fire to get even with them.
Well?
So we had to plow fire lines. When a fire broke out, we had something to backfire off of. We'd start a backfire and contain it in a smaller area.
Well?
Otherwise, it would run wild.
What you were doing was protecting these big corporations.
Mostly. Some small areas, too, some 400 or 500 acre areas that belong to individual turpentine operators or someone like that. But it was a hard job. And,
now, the turpentine operations, they weren't big.
Well, some of them were pretty good size. Yeah,
thousand acres?
They might have had a few thousand acres in their operations.
Oh, that much?
Yeah. The bigger operators.
And you help protect them too?
Oh yes, I had to protect the whole 12 counties from fire, but I had the worst opposition. All the foresters, the state forester promoted me because he believed I knew what I was up to. And when I came out with my multiple use program,
well,
and they all condemned it. He said, "You fellows let Nealon alone. He's working on something." But then crooked politics got him fired, and after that, they condemned everything I did or said.
When did they fire him?
Oh, can't remember the year. Probably.
How long had you
34 or 35, something like that. Maybe 34.
But let me see now.
After that, they fought me. Anything new is condemned by the profession, not because they see anything wrong with it, but because it's new. It's not in the book.
One year you operated those fire equipment for the fire lines.
Yeah.
And then, now that's the state forestry business. And then after that, you stayed with the state forestry up in, for 5 more years?
Yeah, you promoted me then to
district
forester. And I had those 12 counties.
Well?
Then the university called me back.
Yeah.
And wanted me to be state land use planner for Florida, federal government. And they needed a man who knew something about agriculture, something about forestry, and principally something about Florida soils.
And that was the end of your connection then with the state?
For about 3 years, a little over 3 years. I worked that. Then that program, the federal government abandoned the program.
And then you went back to the state?
And then the state hired me back, but they wouldn't let me stay there long. And I could see all the opposition I had there. So when the university called me and wanted me to be extension forester with the Agriculture Extension Service, I was glad to accept.
And that was 1936.
36, I think. You know, I forget the dates. But I worked with them then until I retired.
In 57? That'd make 21 years.
56. I retired in 56. I've been retired 16 years.
Huh?
I've been retired 16 years.
Yeah. And you worked for the Extension Forester for 20 years?
No, only 16.
As extension forester?
You mean I worked with them close to 20 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, I worked with them.
So you were with the state for 7 years, and part of that, 3 years of that, was the land use program.
The federal program, the land use planning program. Now land use planning is beginning to come up again because the universities and everybody was against land use planning.
Now you see, on this this business, you see, when you're an extension forester, we don't have anything on that, Mr. Nealon. And that's what most of your professional life is.
I can give you that pretty much in writing.
I know what in writing. Where you got your extension forester and you work through county agents.
Well, no. I thought you wanted my 7-8 years as county agent in the extension service. I thought that's what you wanted. I don't have anything much written on my record.
I don't talk about written. I mean, we haven't talked at all about
extension forestry work.
Yeah. And there you dealt almost entirely with the county agents.
Yes, supposed to, and I did. Every county agent that would promote. Give a thought to forestry, and had a person who had a problem in forestry, I would be there and look over the land and tell him what I thought he could do to his advantage.
Or the individuals too.
Individuals never work without seeing the man. I don't believe in seeing a man.
I mean, you work with the county agents and also with people who own.
With the county agent and the people. And if possible, I always took the county agent with me.
Oh, yeah.
So that he'd catch on to some things. None of them were trained in forestry.
Yeah.
They didn't know anything about it.
Yeah.
Mostly they didn't care anything about it as long as I was there. Why do they say now we haven't had an extension forester since you left? The county agents all say that. My successor goes to see anybody except an important forester or a forestry meeting.
Who are some of these county agents that you work with?
Oh, you know, so many.
What is that fellow's name?
So many have retired.
Frazier.
What about Frazier? Where was he?
Who?
Warner Frazier.
Percy Warner Frazier,
mm-hmm.
The only friend I have at the School of Forestry, but he doesn't dare say anything.
No, you got the wrong man.
Oh, he wasn't a county agent?
No, he wasn't a county agent.
Well, you must have been good buddy.
He teaches. Percy Warner Frazier teaches at the School of Forestry. He teaches tree identification.
Yeah, you must have known all the county agents, though, pretty well.
Well, so many of them have retired since I...
You still know them, though.
Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. You got your scrapbook with you. It's in the trunk of your car. Your scrapbook.
Your scrapbook? You brought your scrapbook?
Oh, yes, I brought
it. Let Debbie get it out. She can put her hand on that place. You got the key out there?
Yeah.
She get it for you.
It's wrapped up in the plastic because sometimes it gets caught in the rain.
Yeah.
This is the little key that unlocks it.
Okay.
The big key is the ignition key.
Yeah. Well, anyhow, Mr. Nealon, of course, all of them wouldn't listen to anybody. You know, they differ that much.
Oh,
but
yes.
But you got you got the county agents at a time. But when they could get out in the contact.
Yes, they would. If they could, they would come with me. But if they couldn't, I'd go out and see the man myself.
Yeah. But you got the county agents at a time where they weren't stuck in the offices.
You're right. That was a much important time, more important time than we have today. Well, a newly graduated agriculturalist wouldn't dare go out to the farm with a man because he couldn't answer the questions.
Well,
he wouldn't be practical.
I'm trying to get away from that. I'm trying to get to the county agents that you worked with. You see, I didn't know the county agents.
Well,
I
could get you a list of surviving ones.
I don't want to know them. I want to know them through you, you see. Those county agents, you see, that you knew and worked with them.
Yes,
you talked to them and you eat dinner with them and you knocked around together. You told stories.
All who would do anything would get a call from me, and I'd go over to the county with them and see if they had any problems, if I could usually see problems before I got to the county courthouse. And then we had a good deal of planting to do in those days.
Oh, did you?
And where to plant, if to plant, why to plant, what to plant, where to plant.
Yeah.
Well, those fellas would get in and do the digging with you? The county agents in, they'd get right in and do
well,
the work.
Well, he'd go with me, and I would make my recommendations to the owner, the man who was interested in developing his timber.
You see, you can turn on the light.
Sometimes it'd be a disease problem, sometimes it'd be an insect problem, sometimes it'd be a fire problem, whatever it was. Sometimes he would have the wrong kind of trees on the right kind of soil, or the right kind of trees on the wrong kind of soil, and they wouldn't do anything to hit them off.
Yeah.
So he wouldn't make that mistake.
Yeah. Well, I'm not thinking altogether now about your program. Just thinking about some of these fellas that you associated with, Mr. Nealon.
Well, they were better men in those days. They were better acquainted and closer to the farmer and his
problem. I'm not talking about in general. I'm talking about the individuals there that you...
Well, individually, most of them were better acquainted with farmers and their programs than they are now.
You're still generalizing. You won't pick out one of them and talk about him.
Well, I talked about Finlayson working on my... multiple use program.
Yeah.
And others. There's so many things, multiple things that you can help the county with.
I'm just talking about I don't want you to help them. I just want you to talk about them. And, you know, y'all didn't talk business all the time, Mr. Nealon.
They, all accepted what I said because they didn't know whether I was right or wrong.
Yeah, but you didn't talk to them all the time about forestry.
Mostly. I didn't have time enough to cover all the subjects then. I'd have to hurry off to another county where I had another engagement. I had a whole week of counties to tend to when I went on a trip from here to Scandia, from here to Boca Raton, wherever.
But sometimes, I remember there's one man in here wrote you about you used to ride around, and what's that accent?
Scotch.
The Scotch, and he wrote and said you used to ride around with him.
Oh yes, that was down in Bob Norris. He's
Bob
retired
Norris,
too.
That's
yeah,
that's
he's retired
it.
Too now. Yes.
He liked to see you come around.
Yes, he wanted me to give a talk at the Kiwanis Club in Scotch Brogue, but I said I don't think I'm good enough for that. And he says that's the only time you ever let me down. Well, I think that was too big an order for me. I can find a few places where a Scotch phrase.
Well, now you don't use the Scotch brogue now to any extent?
Oh, just occasionally. Now I don't so much anymore because I'm too busy with doing my own work. I'm promoting forestry out there at the Hort Unit, the hardwood plant.
Well, you can do that in the Scotch brogue, can't you?
Oh, yes, I guess I could. Sort of hits me at times and then it doesn't again. I just can't bring it back to bear on any situation in every situation.
Yeah, it just got to hit you right.
Yeah.
Work into it.
Yeah. It all depends. I haven't used him for about 16 years now. I'm getting rusty on my scotch even.
Gosh, yes.
As he said when he was proposing to his girl, when he got home that night, he says he stirred up the fire and made himself a wee cup of tea. You see, he says, the old folks, they were sleeping and they didn't want to waken them. And I sat down at the end of the fender waiting for the kettle to come through the bile. And I fell fast asleep. You know what waking me is? The kettle sitting on the fire, singing to the teapot on the hob. So he fixed himself a wee cup of tea, because you know it was the excitement of a proposition that was the cause of my thirst.
But you must have, when you rode around with Bob Morris?
Yes, I had. He was one of the most cooperative people I ever worked with. And if he had a problem, he'd call on me. And if I would find a way out, I would work at it. And I found out. And often, though, there's so much dry land there that I couldn't recommend what the man wanted to do. One time I remember he had a piece of land there that he had bought 2,000 slash pine seedlings, and he wanted to know about planting them from me, new to him. So I went out to see him, and I was puzzled. The only land he had looked too dry for me for slash pine, but I said, well, maybe they'll do better than I thought. I think they will, and so I let him plant them there. And 4 or 5 years later, I came back, and they were still little trees, miserable trees. I said, I should never let you plant those trees here. Yeah, he said, you know, you kept walking ahead of me all the time, shaking your head. I didn't know that. I didn't remember that. But anyway, I dug up 50 sand pine seedlings on the edge of the Ocala National Forest and planted them in that place. It was better land than they were accustomed to. In 7 years, they were almost ready for pulpwood.
Woo!
They grew so fast on that better site. So, no research in those days. I had to do my own researching. So I told the State Forest Service, don't plant slash pine on the Black Jack Ridge. The state forester, he's a dude. He never learned anything about the woods. In those days, he succeeded, my friend. He said, plant them anywhere. And he prevailed over the crowd. I was not a qualified man. You learn the hard way, it's something you remember.
Well, how'd you happen to notice that, Mr.
Wade? Well, I studied soils, I studied trees.
Well, I know that particular case, that particular case.
Well, it's the principal tree on the Ocala National Forest, which is the poorest, driest, sandy land in the state of Florida.
Yeah.
And they grow there. So I said, if they grow there, they ought to grow better here, and they did.
It wasn't good enough land for slash, but it was better land than they was used to.
Yeah, and it was a saleable tree.
Yeah, but still it was dry land.
Dry land, but sand pine doesn't mind. But slash won't take it.
Yeah.
I suspected that before then. That's the reason I shook my head so much. But it is a little better land than a blackjack oak ridge, deep dry sand where the fishtail oak lives. And longleaf pine belonged there, but they cut it all out, and then nobody ever restocked.
Yeah.
So therefore, nobody ever thought of planting anything but slash pine, that's all.
Yeah.
And the one track mine, that's trouble with foresters.
Well, Mr. Nealon, when you were making them trips out west, all along there, you see, you could watch the trees.
Yes, watch everything.
And you could watch wildlife, too.
Wildlife, from the beginning I left, every mile was as interesting to me as a page in an interesting book. Is it getting that time?
No.
I expect I told my wife I'd be back for lunch. What time is it? I've got an awful busy week. This week I had to go to Tallahassee. I still have to do a lot of work because people write to me. They get tired of getting the bulletin and they want to know something specific.
Well, let me tell you what we need, Mr. Neal. Now that's a marvelous little thing there you just put in, that business about Norris.
Yeah.
And the sliced pine and the and those pines.
It's
see?
Things like that, that you have to.
That's nice.
But I was condemned for recommending
it. Yeah, let me
tell
you. I'm
not a qualified man.
But it's all that business now that you condemn. That's what ruins us, all this stuff. If you could go light on that and give us more of the cases, that's where we're short on.
More what?
More of the cases, just like you did then about the sand pine transfer.
Oh, yeah.
You see? Now, we don't care about the condemnation. We're not talking about that now. We've had too much of that.
Yeah.
We want to get the cases.
Want to see just what you did.
Yeah. And we want to see some of these county agents. And, you know, just let it turn over your mind. And when you take that trip out west, we like to have some of them incidents like it used to be.
Yeah.
Now, we don't want it now where they poison everything.
Yeah.
We got to cut through that.
Glad you noticed that. That
but we
is
gotta,
a big
we,
problem.
But we got to cut through that. You see, it's going to ruin it if we keep that up.
Yeah.
We got to get through that to where you took that western trip and all those things that you saw.
Yeah.
See?
Well, overgrazing is one of the worst things
out
there.
Well, we don't want that over stuff. We want the good things that you saw.
Well,
we don't have to have it now.
Well, too soon.
I'm not talking about it now, but I'm talking about the next time we get together.
Yeah.
And this, those are two of the things we mentioned, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
They have two of them. You see that we don't have anything on. And you got 20 years, you see, of working with county agents. And what we need is some more of those beautiful little cases, like that of the sand pine.
Oh, yes.
And then that county editor up there, you see.
One of the best things is I have another one of those multiple use programs with 750 acres up in Nassau County, furthest east county.
Yeah.
But we got a qualified forester there and he'll have no part of it.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So there sits a beautiful illustration on how to go and kill. He's a qualified man. So, extensions have gotten too permissive, just like our courts and everything else. They don't require a man to do anything.
No.
There are a few good ones, but not
many. They're just bureaucrats. But you see, you're wasting your time out here now, as long as you talk about those things. We got so much of that, you see.
All you want is illustrations.
We want the cases where things go right. We all want to see those old county agents.
Well, I'm telling you one thing, it's a battle when you've got something new.
But we've had enough of the battle. We want to see the cases.
Yeah.
We want to see that western trip.
You don't want to see what didn't work. You want to see what did work.
Yeah. See what old Mr. Norris was like.
Yeah.
Well, Norris is up in the mountains now. He's got a home up there.
Well, we want it back there.
But there are a few others. I'll look up some.
You don't have to look them up.
I forget them.
Know.
I forget so much. You wait till you get to be 83. You just don't remember.
Well, I don't have to wait till I get 83.
Well,
I'm
sure isn't getting
already.
Better. If you're already on the way, it's not getting better. I've had a battle with that in the last 2 years. I can't remember. Somebody asked me your name, it'll take me 10 minutes to think of it. Terrible. But,
I don't know you remember my name that day. Remember when I saw you in the store?
Yeah. Well, I remembered you, but...
What is the case that out there, that little Bora that he saw?
People at the university I used to work with, they called me by first name, and I can't remember their last name.
That little thing in the tree out there when you was with him?
Know him just as well. I can't remember the name.
Boring beetle?
Something like that.
Well,
and that's what the forest fellas don't know now, don't remember?
That's right, they don't know anything about the beetle.
All those things, yes. Oh, Mr. Nealon, there's so many things, you see, so many things. I tell you, now, you can distribute it between the people you work with and the programs that you're interested in. But it'd be nice to see the people just a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Just a little bit more.
Because you see,
the thing of it is, you had the great good fortune of working with the county agents when you could see the county agent.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now you don't see him. He's just an office man. He's just an office
I'm
boy.
I'm just as disgusted as can be with the situation.
Yeah.
There's no